if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I was on Richard Spencer yesterday. We talked about Thomas Massey. Very important what happened with Thomas Massey, but I think it's generally good because for those of us who know where we're headed in terms of the 2028 election, we know that it's not going to be, there's no hope. There's no hope that some sort of dissident ideas will make it into the Republican Party. Therefore, there's no hope that any dissident idea will be victorious in 2028, even partially. And so therefore, the 2028 election is mostly to be seen as burned territory. And it's just about how much fun we can have in the process, of just playing the best game we can so that we can prepare the future for the ideas of new generations so that they can rise. GM for the People says, RIP stream. I don't know, guys. Am I live? Let's see. In any case, we have a new service for Super Chats. Of course, the old options will remain. Streamlabs, still a great way to send me Super Chats, but someone had contacted me and was asking for ways to send anonymously in crypto, and he was recommending XMR chat. So we now have XMR chat as an available method. Plepidus said, no, the stream is live, loud and clear. All right, thank you. So maybe it's on your side, GM for the People. So we have now, and he has already sent me a Super Chat. Subversion Stopper says, hi JF, longtime listener since the tail end of the TPS days. Thanks for joining XMR Chat. It is wonderful to have you here. With all the drama surrounding Entropy not paying what it owes to our dissident peers, I'm glad we have an uncensorable option. Well, thank you very much for inviting me. XMR Chat is great. It's a great system. I tend to avoid these birthing new services because typically they don't have worked out the details and they are not professional, they don't look good. But XMR Chat is super nice, super easy to set up. And look, I can show the Super Chat, hide, boom. That's great. So it's a great way to support the show, a new way. As far as what you say about Entropy, I don't know what happened with their last funds because I've not been streaming on Entropy. So I cannot confirm what you say about people not getting paid. I will tell you, I've been in interaction with the Entropy team for years. They've always been honest to me. Always super upfront about what they owe and always keeping tracks. In fact, at some point they had forgotten a bunch of super chats and they said, oh, we owe you this and we didn't know. So they have been extremely well honest. I don't know what happened at the end. I cannot testify on this. We also have Deadbeat sending $20. Thank you so much, Deadbeat. Very appreciated. Gmook says, hello, Jeff. I am also cutting weight right now, and a protein shake as my first meal has helped me a lot. Suppresses my appetite for 2 to 3 extra hours before eating real food. Okay, but to lose weight, I'm not going to drink a protein shake. Because if I eat anything, like I could eat a banana and I don't lose weight for 5 days. So no, I cannot do this. I don't know my body is super efficient at extracting calorie. I think that's the problem. Well, I have a massive liver, I guess, to begin with, because I've eaten so much things in my life and drank a beer and wine. I've had all of the pleasures of life, but that probably leads to a massive liver that can just extract energy from everything. Plapidas says, JF, you should set up an XMR donation address in addition to this XMR chat service. Well, I do have one. So you go at jfg.world and you click on Bitcoin support or crypto support, and you'll see that I have one that's been set up already. I really appreciate the XMR support. XMR is great to have because I don't hold XMR as an investment. I don't hold massive amounts of XMR. I don't consider it a vehicle of investment. But I think that across the years, it's going to grow and grow in value still just because of the anonymity and the trustability of this platform. It's been holding up. There's been lots of fear and doubt around Monero, people claiming we can't count the coins, therefore it's not a fully known blockchain. But it's like, yeah, at some point I guess you have some trade-off between being fully opened and like Bitcoin and therefore traceable, or being closed and untraceable. But at the same time, we've not seen signs that there has been forgery of any Monero ever. So the fear and doubt has been, up to now, unjustified. I was advancing on white people food today. I'm now in the revision of page 150, so I'm halfway through the first revision of the book, after which I will be able to get a printed copy. I'm very excited. This book is looking good. It's going to be extremely powerful. Plapidas says, JF, maybe you had these addresses on your side, but I just checked and there is only a single Bitcoin address. Well, this is something I have to check about the HTML, because if you scroll down and if you select text, you will see that there's the Monero address there, but it's showing in white over white. I don't know why it's doing this. I was thinking it was just me based on my Dark Reader special setup. Maybe you have Dark Reader too, but no, it's there. It's there. It's just, it shows weirdly in a weird color. You just have to highlight it with your mouse. So I'm page 150. Revision is going well. I think I'll be done in a week, perhaps, for the revision of white people food. GM for the People says, I'm crypto cocked, but I believe XMR is interesting, as at least it has a privacy similar to cash, as far as I know. Yes, that's the goal. That is the goal. All right. Chud the Builder is done, my friends. Because his liar just came out publicly. First, he was abandoned by the public defense liar, probably because that was too hot for him to take, I guess. So now there's a second liar that's been assigned. It's kind of a private defense liar, but that's taking this case as a public defender. And he wrote a whole letter about how he's not racist because he got arrested following his assignment to the case. And it's like, no, this is not the right way to start a case. We have to look into, there's so much legal process where the lawyer that's on your side acts like he wants to lose. So let's read a little bit of that. Let's read a little bit of that letter. And Snezana sends $25. Thank you so much. That is extremely appreciated. It says, first super chat on a live stream. Wow. I am your first streamer that you give a super chat to. That is quite heartwarming. So the lawyer of Chud the Builder, Robbie Harvey reports the letter. General release to the public and press. Attorneys have very strict guidelines on what we are allowed to say to the press when cases are pending, so I can't share much about the case. But I would like to take this opportunity to address some of the hateful phone calls and emails my office has been receiving since I've been appointed to be Mr. Ederle's attorney. My entire firm is being called racist. I am disappointed given my history and dedication to my clients, which includes people of all skin colors. Bro, you are in a very special case. It's not time to kneel to the left. It's not time to kneel to the woke. When you get harassed, what is the first rule of the internet? Do not feed the trolls. When you get harassed, you don't reveal it publicly. You block everyone involved. You make sure to protect your people, your employees, whatever it is. And you don't reveal that you got hurt by the harassment, because now you're feeding the troll. You're giving them celebratory victories by talking about it publicly. To be called a racist is an awful thing to me. I was raised to do the right thing, even if it isn't popular. My grandfather taught school and coached basketball during the height of racial integration in our country. He allowed his best athletes to play regardless of skin color, and because of his choices, he was referred to as the Ensler coach. I am proud of him for having the courage to do the right thing, even to the detriment of his social status. I am just as proud of his action in that regard as I am his military service, as I am of his military service in the Korean War. I came to represent Mr. Ederle after the public defender of our district filed a motion to withdraw. In this motion, it was alleged that the private bar, of which I am a member, lacked the fortitude to represent Mr. Ederle due to his unpopularity. I decided to prove him wrong. The role of a criminal defense attorney is to represent people regardless of their race, religion, ideology, or allegations against them. And this is where he says, this entire case is disturbing. Racism is a terrible thing, and it's a flawed method of thinking. We are all the same race. We just have different skin tones. What? What the fuck is this? I mean, we are all of the same race. We just have different skin tones. This is the attorney of Chud the Builder, for those just joining us. To a very large extent, people of color in this country have had more challenges and difficulties to face than the vast majority of white folks. To accentuate that point, the United States Supreme Court has decided that law enforcement, particularly ICE, are allowed to make traffic stops based on skin tone. I think he meant are not allowed here. This is commonly referred to as a Kavanaugh stop. Occupation, skin tone, and location is enough for a traffic stop to check if someone is a legal resident. Okay, maybe it didn't mean not. The normal standard was that there must be reasonable suspicion of unlawful activity. This is a major blow against the freedom that we cherish so dearly. So this guy is assigned to Chud the Builder. And he's already apologizing to the Antifa crowds, the anarcho-terrorists, really, that are calling at his law office to harass his staff. And he's kneeling in racial apologies. That is not looking good for Chud the Builder, because what Chud the Builder needs is a massively ballsy defense of artistic expression. Not just artistic expression, but the fact that his entire work is artistic expression, and that this particular case was an attack against him, against which he had to defend, and in which he believed that his life was threatened. That is what he needs. There are also lots of people watching us on X. Thank you very much for joining us. Ali Joy says, does he have a name or is he an ambiguous pronoun? Well, the name is Jack Findlay. He has been assigned to Chud the Builder. This attorney and the general profession of attorney must be completely reviewed so that this kind of attitude is eventually considered as giving up the case. You don't come out publicly and say, oh, this case is disturbing. You don't do this. You've already abandoned if you adopt this framing. I, on my show, I've been a better attorney for Chud the Builder than this guy. This guy is getting paid by the government to defend Chud the Builder. With this case, you have to go all out and you have to be like, Chud the Builder is an artist. He's one of the most important artists of our generation. He works at the confluence of racial tensions and he wants to express a special form of art that that may shock those who don't understand it, but that is justified and that is ultimately a message of unity. Because it's a message for the equal application of the law, it's a message against the harassment of white people, and it's ultimately fundamentally an anti-racist message that Chud the Builder is pushing, which is the current state of anarcho-tyranny in the US is depriving white people of speech. Based on threat, based on the very threat that Jack Findlay is kneeling to right now. And Chud the Builder was there to highlight this. He was there to make an audit, a risky audit, a tough-to-make audit that most people should never attempt to do. But he was testing, can I practice my First Amendment right without getting attacked? Extremely dangerous test. But he has decided to sacrifice his life for it. Charles Garrity says, his lawyer speaks like the prosecutor. Exactly. Those are very worrying allegations that I'm defending. What? No, that's not the angle. And to think that a letter saying I'm not racist is going to calm down the harassment, people don't understand the world. It's like these people are from another generation. They're boomers. I don't know. They've not followed the internet for the last 15 years. That's not how you handle harassment. Harassment, you ignore it publicly. You display a public face like it didn't happen. And the harassers are going to start thinking, holy shit, is he even getting my harassment? And you block and you obfuscate everything and you make it so that nothing really makes it to the target of the harassment. Once you've blocked and neutralized, they get tired. And then you don't display a public face that it happened at all. So they don't even get the feedback that they annoyed you. To end all harassment is an art. Marby Dog says, anarcho-tyranny is not even deniable at this point. Exactly. Exactly. Before we talk about Thomas Massey and the future, because I see a configuration happening that's very interesting. With Nick Fuentes, with Cenk Uygur, there's going to be tension in this temporary alliance between the people who just hate the Republican Party but are true right-wingers and the others. And we're going to talk about this tonight. But a gene therapy given to 13-month-old boy has years later led to a tumor in his brain. No shit. After the virus carrying the gene. After the virus carrying the gene inserted part of it directly into his DNA. No shit. The mass was safely removed, but his case appears to be the first time a gene therapy delivered directly into the body has been linked to cancer. Well. We're playing with replicators. And what do these replicators do? Well, we're using these replicators to send genetic messages inside cells. And these genetic messages are carried by the best messengers that we can find, which happen to be viruses. And now these viruses are injecting genes, they make errors, there's mutation, there's misadjustments, misadditions, fucking up chromosomes here and there. And these viruses are unleashed in a way that are uncontrollable. And one of these ends up in a boy at some point creating a cancer. What's a cancer? Well, it's another replicator. So read the revolutionary phenotype and understand that this is continuation of the phenotypic revolution. Techniques being developed to use the tricks of life to which accidentally leads to the creation of new life. And a cancer is basically a creation of a life, of a new life form that lives inside your body, that reproduces at its own rate without listening to the signals of your body that says, don't do that. And it's not long lived. These life forms will exist while you're alive, and then they will die with your body. But they are life forms. Cancer is a life form within the phenotype. Let us never forget this. The revolutionary phenotype, ladies and gentlemen. So yesterday I was talking with Richard Spencer, and I realized while talking, and he has some very good point, and I've added my own. And I realized the importance and the excitation of the moment we're into right now. With the loss of Thomas Massie yesterday, who lost his Kentucky primary race, so to even be a candidate for his post, which he has been occupying for more than a decade, Ed Gallerain, a APAC-assigned competitor, has been chosen at 55% versus Thomas Massie, 45%. Those are Republican voters, therefore, that decided to kick Thomas Massie out of the political game. And Thomas Massie is one of the most stellar politicians in action right now. The rest has pretty much been cleaned out by every time by scandal, like Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz, oh, we have these messages with a girl, maybe a prostitute, maybe underage. It's like it always comes right at the time they want it. And it's always because a bunch of people have decided this politician is not pro-Israel enough. And they pour money into a system of lies that seeks to destroy reputations. That's why there is such a thing as what they think that Jeff Epstein was doing in terms of extortion. Marby Dog says, JF, have you seen the movie Code 46? Viruses are used to deliver desired mutations to people who pay for upgrades. I haven't watched this. I'll check it out, maybe even tonight, because that sounds interesting. Thank you very much for the donation. You know, political extortion that they've been attributing to Jeff Epstein only is actually an ongoing thing, and it's not so much Jeff Epstein. Because it's not so much I have you on camera having illegal sex. That is kind of rare, actually. But political extortion takes the form of mostly, they send a bunch of handlers around you, just like Matt Gaetz had, which is, okay, you have this weird Jewish friend, and he tries to get you involved in all sorts of things. And it's like, bro, wow, this guy keeps pushing me into contacting young prostitutes. Why? And they accumulate information, and they sometimes arrange with the prostitutes so that they have a story about how this was wrong. Or maybe you're married, so it was wrong even if the prostitute is an adult. And they just keep this information, and they use it once you drift away too much from Israeli interest. Matt Gaetz has had it. Thomas Massie recently has had it. They tried in this last week to pull some story about some woman who had claims about him. Very bizarre. Very bizarre, the story they tried to pull. But that's what happens when you throw $20 million at anything. And everyone will come with a justification for why they should get a slice of that $20 million. So false allegations are funded secretly in this nation. and the articles of public interest of, oh, wow, now we have these allegations. Let's write something about it. Let's write a hit piece. All of this is funded. Funded by people who are in line or who are trickling money down from Israeli interest. And there has to be an investigation and basically legislation around this, because the system of liberty and free speech has not been designed to be infinitely exploitable by massive amounts of money. It's been designed to let the truth emerge and let the opinions of everyone be known. It's not been designed to protect rackets of false allegations and infinitely fund women for having had sex. That is not the goal of the First Amendment. So they did it to Thomas Massie, and the combination of the money, the harassment, the networks of people getting paid by this money, the lies, they got to 55-45 against him. And they've kicked out Thomas Massie from the Republican Party. He will keep his post up to the next 7 months. And so it's going to be interesting first, because perhaps we will have a gloves off Thomas Massie, as people were pointing out on Twitter today. Perhaps we'll have a gloves off moment where he is not so interested at being pacific anymore, and perhaps he's going to be more aggressive in his defense of his ideas. But in any case, I think we should interpret this as a victory given where 2028 is headed. It's a victory because we don't want the Republican Party to be displaying a false impression that they are open to dissident talking points. And that was exactly the role of Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie was not so important for Kentucky. I'm sure he was trying his best to defend the interest of his people. But Thomas Massie had a function in the ecological system at the national level of politics. He was saying there is still a door opened for people who think like me inside the Republican Party. That's the message that it was sending. And so in my view, that's an error of the GOP elite to have done this. Because now Nick Fuentes can be absolutely unleashed, his gripers, the whole generation of young people will be it will be very, very easy to make the case we are not welcomed in the Republican Party. The Republican Party has chosen the boomer. And so I don't see a good chance of 2028 to be a successful election for the Republican Party in light of this, in light of everything that's been happening. The Republican Party has cemented itself into an extremely greedy pro-Israel Zionist position. It has done things with the Iran war that are objected to by the young generations. The young generations can see through the bullshit of this. They can see that Trump has been subverted by Israeli interest. And with the number of exclusions they've done, they've realized the dream of Elon Musk, which is, let us kick all of these racist and evil people from the Republican Party. Not realizing that, hey, you guys are kicking your base. You guys are kicking what allowed you to be in power in the first place. You know, let's kick our own voters from the party. Well, that's not a particularly genius strategy. Meanwhile, I see an opening on the left. You know, Candace was interviewing Hunter Biden. And there you can see a birthing alliance also, where imagine Candace on top of it, potentially sending the message that we are not welcomed in the Republican Party anymore. Now, I don't know what's in the head of these GOP elites. Do they think they can buy the 2028 election too? Are they so sure about this? But why would you Why would you deprive yourself of a significant segment of your own voter base by being so hostile to them that you don't even let them have one representative in your party? I don't get it, because at some point it boils down to, yes, democracy. And it's a very bad way to play the game of democracy, to be exclusive. You have to be the broadest you can. That is how the GOP was successful. Now, you could argue they fooled us. You could argue they lied about their broadness. And in fact, Trump was converging toward per servant of Israel as soon as he had the votes in. But they had to display this lie, at least. And that's telling. It's telling that Trump had to run the campaign he did in 2016, that Trump lost the campaign he did in 2020, that Trump didn't reveal his intent in 2024 to win the election. It tells you that there is a critical mass of people that would not have followed Trump if they knew what Trump had in mind. Marby Dog says, I'm sorry, JF, but I gave no respect for Candace. Doesn't matter whether you respect her or not. It really doesn't matter. What matters is she will count. She will count because she has a big audience and she might very well take the road of Nick Fuentes. This is what I was struck, because yesterday Richard Spencer was unhappy about all this. And I was like, Richard, this is your dream happening. Gusparovsky sends 10 bucks. He says, fake blockade for incoming famine. I don't even know what you're talking about, bro. I don't know what you're talking about. Famine? Incoming famine? I don't know. So I was looking at Richard Spencer and I was like, Richard, this is your dream. You were talking to me 5 years ago and you were talking about this maybe 10 years ago. That we need to destroy the Republican Party. And now the Republican Party is destroying itself. You should celebrate. And it's like, Richard was annoyed that this was low IQ and that Candace is low IQ and everything is becoming low IQ. And I was like, it's going to be low IQ no matter what. Because let me tell you, the cheerleaders of Trump in these times, the cheerleaders that they have left, that they call now the real MAGA, which somehow came 8 years later, 6 years later than the real MAGA. They are out there just cheerleading in a low IQ way. The kicking of Thomas Massey. This guy is, it's like, I wonder every time I see his face, whether it's a parody video or it's a real one. Goodbye, Thomas Massey. This is Trump's party. This is MAGA.
Like all those online votes from Portuguese people and Pakistanis can't actually affect an election in Kentucky. Goodbye to Thomas Massey. Goodbye.
So he's trying to make the claim that the Thomas Massey support was illusionary, generated from Pakistan. You know, maybe in online measures, there is international effects that can amplify, make a certain movement seem slightly bigger or slightly less big than it truly is. But I think they're committing an error, because the support for Thomas Massey was big enough for him, even in an adversarial campaign, to generate 45% of the vote. That's a significant basis in his place. And Thomas Massey had national support. The number of people who will consider themselves that they don't have a home in the Republican Party starting now is enormous. And it's not a part of the electorate that you can ignore or insult. Other samples of this kind of attitude. This girl, you know, these are all accounts that have risen super big out of nowhere. They became a representative of a new MAGA. typically joined in 2020, 2022, were never involved in discussions with us for the 10 years before that we were on the internet. And she says, draining the swamp. So for her, Thomas Massie is draining the swamp. Getting rid of it is draining the swamp. That is such a subversion of the idea of what the swamp was. It's heartbreaking to see that level of low IQ analysis. Because precisely, Thomas Massie was one of the last hope to actually drain the swamp. Thomas Massie, with his libertarian attitudes and his dislike of big budgets, was definitely one of the last Republicans who wanted to drain the swamp. Meanwhile, Trump is funding the swamp. So to say drain, we've just drained the swamp because we got rid of Thomas Massie is just sick inversion. It's impossible that you're that stupid. You know what you're doing. You're subverting all of the themes of MAGA to appropriate them to a new direction for the Republican Party. And I will be bold enough to say I think they're going to fail. Gus Parovsky says, worldwide famine because of the right to Israel to defend itself. Oh, so you mean in the way they treat their enemies? Dim Dwanling says, somehow after kissing the wall, it's like being born again. Suddenly conservatism is all about repeating the phrase, Israel is our number one ally, rapidly and foaming at the mouth. It's disgusting what's happening with the nation because it's all... There is an operation of control by money. So you have very wealthy people aligned with Israeli interests. They fund various things and they catch with this, they attract the worst of American society. Corrupt politicians, staff that just want to slave away at any cause so they can make money. The manipulation of money with money of politics is absolutely disgusting in the U.S. On the way out, Thomas Massie made a speech, repeated one of his jokes about Israel.
I would have come out sooner, but I had to call my opponent and concede, and it took a while to find Ed Gallrein in Tel Aviv.
All right, so what do we have? We have a slightly more comedic Thomas Massie making direct jokes about Israel, whereas in the former times he would talk about AIPAC and he would be annoyed at this, but he wouldn't be constantly repeating this kind of joke. Okay, what I'm most interested in is what the world becomes now. Because I was looking this morning at a tweet of Cenk Uygur. very interesting tweet by Cenk Uygur in light of the fact that I know Cenk has been interviewing David Duke back in the days. And I was finding him in opposition to highlighting the problem of Israeli interest in America. That was Cenk Uygur maybe about 10 years ago. Now here's what Cenk Uygur says. Now we all know we're occupied. Israel controls our government. Anyone telling you otherwise is a obvious liar. This is the time for patriots. We now get to fight for independence again. This time not with arms or violence. We need a real aggressive political revolution. I will work tirelessly to free America from Israel's control. I will help build a left-wing populist alternative that is completely free of Israel. If I'm backing someone, including a presidential candidate, that means I think they are actual Americans and not servants of Israel. Fight them on the left, fight them on the right, fight on the hills and on the beaches, but fight to help free your country. The politicians and the national media are on their side. I think a united America can defeat the people in power and regain our freedom on our 250th anniversary. I believe in America. I mean, this guy 10 years ago, in the face of a denunciation of exactly this kind of power by David Duke on his show, was giving back pushback. It was, you say this about the banking sector, but what evidence do you have? And it's not that much, and maybe they didn't have a choice to get in this sector. It's like, at this point, your discourse is essentially what David Duke could have said 10 years ago, except that David Duke wouldn't have gone at it from the left perspective. But this is undifferentiated. So why are these people constantly fighting us for years and then adopting our positions? It's so painful. It's like being around unintelligent monkeys. They fight. And you're like, I have your best interest at heart. I'm just trying to have a discussion about the true state of politics. And they cancel you, and they join the cancellation spree by the very people that they end up criticizing. Marby Dog says, you hate hitting all of my least favorite people today, JF, Kenda, Spencer, and now Cenk. My soul is being crushed. Joke, kidding. I see your point. No, but yeah, I mean, hate these people or not, I don't care. I'm telling you that these people are going to be very important for what's to come. Because what's to come is that there will be some form of a necessary temporary alliance. Lapidus says, JF, it's because your position was radical a decade ago, but today it is fashionable. Well, exactly. Why does that happen? That should not be the case. These people who are professionals of media should be interested in the truth from the start. It shouldn't be about fashion. It shouldn't be a fad. Oh, so we have received our first live super chat. Let's see. Subversion Stopper says, JF, with all of this infighting on the right lately, it seems like it's the same drama headlines day after day. Perhaps it would be helpful to have some other right-wing option to defer to. Any good and upcoming right-wing creator that you can recommend? I cannot see through the future and what will be the good rising stars. I have presented here on this show a couple of shows ago this girl. What's her name? Dildo the Anarchist. What was her name? I actually erased her from my mind because she said she just wanted to marry Dia the Anarchist. But she said she just wanted to marry an Albanian. So I forgot. I literally forgot about her. So there's Dia the Anarchist, who I think is going to be a very wise thinker in her own ways and being a young woman. So with the limits of that. But I can't tell you, like, this is going to matter, or this is a YouTube rising star. But certainly, you know, Cenk Uygur. What I'm mostly interested is who will be the leftists that are edgy enough to start establishing a bridge with the Groypers. That is the most important thing to follow. If you want my big prediction, is because as Nick Fuentes roots more and more for the Democrat Party, there's always one leftist that's a little more edgy than another. There's always this Vouch, like, you know how Vouch invited me on his show? And of course, they're going to try to push back and stuff. But ultimately, it's a sign that, oh yeah, these leftists are, they're kind of liberal enough to be tolerant of a creator that they hate, that they will have a discussion with him. And it's very important because this may mean we have, I mean, here's a wild prediction, a possibility. Nick Fuentes on the Young Turks. I'm calling it. A very strong possibility at some point is Nick Fuentes hanging out in studio, Anna Kasparian on his left, Cenk Uygur on his right. And that would be beautiful because I think it's the path we have to take to completely destroy the chances of the Republican Party. And at this point of betrayal, at this level of betrayal of what Trump has done to the base, and it's not like I've been betrayed because I didn't support Trump in 2024. So I knew that the betrayal was coming, and people like Nick Fuentes knew. The people who were smart enough to see it, it's not that we were betrayed in voting for him, but we were still betrayed in that path was taken to betray the rest of the voter base that was still hanging on to the former vision of Trump. That level of betrayal and bought-outedness and artificiality and kicking of any dissident voices like Thomas Massie, that deserves extremely strong punishment. And it will be more easy to organize this. And Nick Fuentes' job, I'm not saying this is what he wants to do or dreams to do, but his job will be the objective, rational analysis of what he must do. He must engage and bridge with the left. And that will mean, and the left will also have to do this, which is what I was saying. You know, it's going to be time for the left to start acknowledging that they have tabooized, they have turned into taboo discussions of the truth, and they need to recover their edgy nature. It's very easy for a liberal to be open, by the way, because they're opened on literally everything else. It's like, I could go on the Young Turks and talk about how I love getting pounded in the ass by a 1 pound large obtuse object. And it's like, I really like this because it stretches my anus to the maximum. They wouldn't give a shit. And yet, when it comes to certain truths, they have selectively decided to censor them in a way that made the left indigestible for any free-thinking person who searches for the truth. Like race, like IQ, like genetics, like the eugenic nature of the state, the unsustainability of the current demographic program for America. And it's like, well, you would let me talk about how this enormous object just stretches my anus. But you won't let me talk about these very important matter about society, demographics, even if you were to disagree with me. People are already thinking about generating a clip. Yes, I love to give opportunities for the clippers. You know, we don't love our clippers enough. They do a hard work. They actually listen to the whole show. They're prepared on their record button, and they hate it when they miss the start because then they have to rewind and re-click to get the start right. You have to care about your clippers. In fact, go right now on X, choose a clipper and says, I love you, man. A random clipper. Doesn't have to be a clipper you appreciate. Just tell them you love them. The clippers have it hard, and they are an important component of mimetic rise. I don't do organized clipping. Nick Fuentes does a lot of it. I don't know if it's based on volunteer clippers or if they're paid to be that. But definitely to meme and to have big penetrability in the current Mimetic space, you need clippers. And so, yeah, so if you're looking for something to do in my crowd and you're bored and you have extra time, absolutely clip my stuff and share the good moments. You know, what makes a good clip is it's less than 10 minutes, it's a short statement, and people can get the gist of what you said that night without having to watch the whole show. That's how the clipping business works. And there's so much of current population belief and movement. And you know, the mimetic flow of the public space, so much of it is just clips. Because no one has the time to watch shows anymore. No one has the time to read books anymore. Everyone is in that hyper-clipped environment. So if someone says something or does something, you're probably going to get about 90% of the people will know it through a clip rather than through the actual base event or the base show that it comes from. Lauren says, isn't JF talking to Nick at some point in the future? Yeah, we have planned this thing. People are telling me it's buffering again. Well, again, for now, I do not have any sign that this is from a local connection issue, because I'm getting zero missing frame. Well, anyways, I was headed to where, there you go. The missing frame problems starts occurring. There it is. I was at zero. Your stream quality is good. And now missing frames. Well, anyways, I was about to close the show. One last news item. Lisa Britton says this NPR article focuses on how we have missing economically stable men, boiling it down to not enough going to college. But why is this happening? They never mention how for decades we've only given support, encouragement, and resources to girls and women. We've told boys and men to step aside. They make it sound like it's all the men's fault without taking a good hard look at what society has done to hurt our boys and men and ensure that they don't succeed. If we can't call out the true problem, we'll never find real solutions. And it was an NPR article called The Missing Men of the American Marriage Market. No, there's no missing men. You just have to love free men who have decided not to kneel to this corporate system, which is a game that we can't win. It's like everywhere you go to apply for a job, you get scanned for your whole social media history. You get scolded by some woman. You get judged by a team of expert, basically cancelers, who will cancel your application if they detect anything weird about you. I don't want to work in this environment of hyper-conformism. And so there is no man on the market because we have decided to take our own path. Gusparovsky, no, I will not talk to you. You have to DM me first because I'd like to know what you want to make as a point before I invite you on the show. So you could come on a future show, but you have to give me more info about what you intend to talk about. So that is it for tonight, boys. I'm going back to continuing my rush revision of white people food. We're going to have an amazing book. It's going to be historical. I hope that it succeeds a lot. I hope that it becomes like a brand name and that it will sell a lot. I think it will. But in any case, even if we have a small crowd buying it, it's going to be a small crowd that's eating very happily. Much love and see you all tomorrow.